Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Cutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer, and I'm really excited about today's show. I've got an unusual topic, and we're going to be talking to the Vet Set and some of the doctors from there. They are basically a mobile clinic, which for people that have pets that hate leaving the house, this is something totally amazing, especially if you live in New York. So I want to get started. I'm going to introduce everyone, and we're going from there. So I've got Dr. Taylor Truitt.
Hello. How are you today, Celia?
Thank you so much for coming out. It's so much more fun when you guys are here. I'm so thrilled that you're here.
Thank you.
And I've got Dr. Eva Radke.
Hi, Celia.
How are you?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for coming out. Like I said, especially from the city, it can be tough this time of day, you know? So I just want to dive in. I want to get as much information as we can about what you guys do out there. So the company name is called The Vet Set. What does that mean? What do you guys do?
We're both veterinarians. Both of us are practicing for close to 10 years, and we are trying to change the way that veterinary medicine is delivered. We're merging mobile technologies, and we're making it easier for clients and for our patients, their pets, to get the veterinary medicine that they need in their home office or hotel.
Hotels, that's
hotels.
Smart.
Yeah, the people in town, they come, they've got their pets, their pet gets sick. Who are they going to call? Us.
That's brilliant,
yeah.
Actually.
Thank you.
That's really, that beats house calls, actually. That's pretty amazing.
Totally, yeah.
So, what animals do you guys see?
Exclusively dogs and cats.
Okay.
You can start throwing out any animal under the sun, and the answer is dogs and cats.
Okay, so yes. You haven't had any, like, bizarre clients or any, like, weird animals show up? And
people will ask us, and still the answer at the end of the day is dogs and cats. People who are involved in exotic animal medicine, they're a special breed all of their own. Usually they're a little quirky.
Yeah.
The animals are a little quirky, so we'll let quirky stay with quirky, and we'll take care of the dogs and cats.
That sounds like a great idea. And so for people that have pets that don't know anything about house calls, like, let's talk about that a little bit. Like, why did you guys do this? What's the reasons for this? That kind of thing.
I think people now were interested in having stuff delivered to us. We want it to make it easy for our services to come to our homes. The story began about 2014. I broke my leg skiing accident. And I was having everything delivered to my home. So my groceries, my dry cleaning, my friends were coming over and walking my dog for me. And I started thinking about, well, why can't we deliver veterinarians to the home?
Yeah.
So simple as that can be. Eva, do you want to add a little why you joined us?
Yeah, I think that it just, in a way, it's sort of bringing it back to the olden days when your doctor and your vet and everybody would come to you, kind of like in the James Herriot novels. Which were a favorite of mine growing up. So I think it's kind of cool because in some ways it's very modern what we're doing. And, you know, everybody, especially around here, gets everything delivered from food to laundry to, you know, TaskRabbit coming over to do whatever it is you need them to do, which is a very modern way of approaching things. But in other ways, it's very,
it's going back to our roots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Going back to the roots, and the first veterinarians out there came to you.
Yeah.
So, but it also is very comfortable, and I think people get really stressed out about the thought of going to a vet and having to bundle up yourself and your animal, and especially in the city, how do you get there? How do you transport them? So I think that's another big reason that we're doing this is just to make it easy and comfortable for the pets and the people and everybody involved to get the care that they need.
I love it because, I mean, I had a cat, my last cat. Oh, my God, to get her in a carrier? It was like World War III. It was so bad.
And the cat always won.
Totally.
Cat always won. Mm-hmm. Cat would get totally strung out. You know, cat got carsick, too. So it's great. Mm-hmm. So you've got this totally strung out cat in a box who now vomits all over itself or urinates all over itself out of just sheer carsickness and fear. And it's, you know, get to the vet. And then it's like a wildebeest in a box. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, good luck with the temperature and the nail cutting. Like, see you later.
Exactly, yeah.
And for those cats, though, and that's the cool thing about it, is we get to see them in their home environment. Yeah. And there's been a couple times where I've actually made the diagnosis based upon seeing the cat do the behavior in the home. And you have owners come in, they try to describe these things. They'll do pantomimes. They'll try and reenact sounds. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea what they're doing, but you don't want them to not do it because maybe they'll give you a little clue. But then you see the cat do it. And you're totally. Like, oh, bingo. This is what's going on. And here's what we need to do about this.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I worked at a clinic for about 4 years, and we did occasional house calls, and it was the kind of thing that when we did them, it was kind of like, why don't we do these all the time? Mm-hmm. These are really great. And like, especially the cat, for cats, I honestly think it's a no-brainer. I mm-hmm. really do. And then, you know, for like the really, like the fear, just the dogs full of fear and the ones that are like fear, aggression, my God, at their house, right. It's like a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So much better.
I agree. I think a lot of animals are completely different at the vet than they are at home. I can't even count the number of clients when I did work at a regular vet, quote unquote, that would tell me like, oh my gosh, you know, this Susie or Daisy or whatever her name is so not like this at home. This
Always.
Is totally not her. You know, she's usually so sweet or vice versa. Like I had a lot of cats, especially who at home were kind of crazy and they would come to the vet and just be paralyzed.
Totally.
With fear. You know, and you could do whatever you wanted to them and they would just be like, oh my gosh, when is this going to be over? Just get it over with, you know? Mm. So, but yeah, I think it's helpful for us as veterinarians because our patients can't talk to us. Yeah. And so much of it is observing what they're doing, how they're acting, and being in the home environment is just, I mean, it's so valuable to have that interaction with them.
Totally. And the thing about the symptoms too is amazing because, you know, we had a cat come into our clinic who was like coughing. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was either pneumonia, bronchitis, something hardcore. And it's cough, 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 cough. And like she called. And I picked up the phone, and she's like, listen to my cat. And, like, literally, I'm hearing this cat call on the phone. I'm like, this is wild.
Whatever it is, it's bad.
She showed up, kept the cat for 2 hours. Damn cat never coughed once. Mm-hmm. Cat was like, yeah. I'm fine. It's right. All cool. We're good. Mm-hmm. You know? And so in order to really see those symptoms, it's absolutely the truth. Even, like, vomiting and diarrhea, sometimes it's like, I'm good. I'm good totally. At the clinic. And then you put them in the carrier, and it's like, boom! It's like, well, see, there's a problem.
Well, yeah. The other thing, though, people take pictures. This is my favorite. iPhone photos of vomit, diarrhea,
oh,
hairballs, this, that, and the other. And they're like, oh, I took a picture of it. And I'm like, we're good. I kind of know what
yes.
you described. I'm super cool with that.
Yeah.
Or they'll bring it in. And sometimes, actually, you know, with diarrhea samples, we do want a sample
yeah, totally.
Of it, you know. But my favorite, and I'm sure you've seen this, where they bring this paper towel, and it's all wadded up with, like, cat vomitus and crap and all mm-hmm. sorts of stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah, you're just like, this is lovely. And it's
all like absorbed into the
paper towel.
So you're like, yep, that's vomit.
No, yep.
It really
doesn't really help me.
Lab's going to love
you got
this.
The right orifice where this came from.
It's like, hello, IDEX. I hope you don't mind. This is our sample. You make tea out of it or something. It's like, this is not going to work.
Yeah. It's so true, though. I always tell people, not used to, but that adrenaline is such a good pain drug. Also, you were saying that, you know, animals mask what's going on when they come in. But especially with pain, you know, I've even had limping dogs and cats that come into the vet and they're not limping.
Totally.
Suddenly,
it's like
a
miracle.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like that adrenaline is working great, and that's what it's there for, but it doesn't really help us with our...
It's just that you guys are that good that they just have to see
totally.
You, and they're like, I'm safe.
Yeah,
thank
I'm
you,
good.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Just needed to come here and say hi.
And then they limp out to the car.
Yeah.
So, like, what areas do you guys go to? Where are you covering?
Basically, on Manhattan, mm-hmm. we're doing the Upper East Side and the Upper West Side all
Smart.
The way downtown.
Smart.
So we've got the island covered. And then Brooklyn, we're basically doing what I'm calling the easy access parts of Brooklyn from mm-hmm. Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
So Williamsburg, Cobble Hill,
cool.
Greenpoint, kind of that whole corridor through there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it turns out Eva lives in Brooklyn, and then I'm right on top of the L line. So
Perfect.
It's easy for me to shoot over, and she's
Perfect.
There. And our technician, Michelle, she lives in Queens, and so it's easy for her to get wherever it
Totally.
Needs to be. So
is it just you guys and your techs?
It's just Taylor and I and Michelle right now.
Wow. Yeah.
So two vets and a tech. Yep. Sounds like a TV show.
Totally.
It could be, but if anybody's listening, we are. No.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Yeah, really. So,
but the cool thing about that, though, is that you know who you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And one of the things that we do cultivate is our relationships with our clients and our patients. Mm-hmm. And we do want to set up a long-term, lifelong relationship with people. And when you have different veterinarians bouncing in and out and they're not a part of the ownership team, I mean, that makes a huge difference right there. And that's one of the things that designates us from other groups that are out there.
And I love that. And I mean, it's the same way with me. It's like, you know, in the past when I've had pets, it's like, no, only that doctor. Like, if I find the right one, I don't care who comes out. Jesus can come out. I don't care. I want to see my one doctor. And I think that's really important. And I love that you guys are doing that. Because, it can be like, it's Dr. Jones and Dr. Smith and Dr. whoever. And you're just like, who are these people? And they're coming in and, you know, taking the health history, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're getting asked the same 20 questions. Like, could you look at your notes from last week? Because it is exactly the same thing, unfortunately. So to build that relationship, I think, besides the fact that it really... It's nice to see the same face every time, you know?
And it helps us, too, because you get to know that particular patient, and you get to know what's normal for them and what's not. And sometimes they come in, and you can tell, you're like, you don't feel that great.
Yeah.
And you know their attitude's wrong, and you know just something's not quite right. And you get to know the owner also, and you get to know for them, you know, some people have a really big panic button, and some people have a very small panic button.
Yeah.
And when the people with the small panic button freak out, you know it's a big deal.
Totally, totally.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that helps too. So what kind of appointments are typical for you guys?
You name it. About 80% of what we do in a veterinary hospital, we can do in the home environment.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing how much we can get away with. So.
Are you guys like spaying and neutering in people's homes?
No. Okay. No surgery. That goes to that 20%. No, there will be none of that, thanks. First off, that's illegal.
Pretty sure people would not. Yeah, I was going to say.
There's so many reasons why that's wrong.
Seriously. Yeah.
No, we're not doing that. But we're doing, I mean, all preventative care.
Cool.
We can do that in the home environment.
Cool.
Vaccine appointments. Today, I was helping... get a dog over to the Netherlands.
Nice.
So, you know, doing health certificates and things like that.
That's fun.
I do acupuncture at home, so
nice.
I'm a certified veterinary acupuncturist.
Yay.
And then hospice care. So there comes a point when we have to say goodbyes. And for these particular pets, I think it's even more stressful to get them to the hospital.
Yeah.
So if they've got, you know, end of care management, pain management, and then when it actually comes to time to say goodbye to them, we can do it in the home environment.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean,
it is,
still ask,
but
how do you do that? And we just do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make
I mean,
it
the way
easier.
That we used to always talk about it at the clinic was like, it honestly, that it's a gift that you're able to take this poor being that's in so much pain and it's just miserable and there's no way out. Like it's going to die and just save it from all that torture. And you know, it's something like for me, when I was at the clinic, I'm like, what the hell am I doing working here? I'm so squeamish. You know, it was like, here, hold this lung. It's like, no, not so much. Thank you. You know, that kind of thing. But it was like, and then I'd get called in to help out with euthanasias and things like this. And I was always like, oh God, oh God. And it was actually,
it's very peaceful.
It's kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very peaceful.
I was
going
to say it is kind of beautiful.
It
I
really,
agree.
It's like this moment that was so much more than what I ever expected, you know? Mm-hmm. And really, it's, I think the fact of being able to do it at someone's home would be incredible instead of just being in this office with the bright lights and, you know, all of it. Because that's, doctors' offices and vets' offices have to be sterile, obviously. Mm-hmm. But to do something like that that's so personal and so touching in such a sterile environment is tough. Mm-hmm. And then being like, knock, 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 I'm sorry, we need the room. That's like, oh my God, that's the worst, you know?
Oh, yeah, and then you can hear, like, I remember being in those rooms and you can hear people walking up and down the halls and you can just, you hear everything that's going on in the hospital.
Yeah.
And that's not always the best experience for anybody involved. So, I think... I mean, my whole exposure to being an in-home vet happened through euthanasias when I used to work at a brick and mortar, and we offered the service that we would come to your house for euthanasias only.
Yeah.
But and it was always, you know, as much as we don't like to do it, and it's the part of our job that is, you know, hard to talk about and probably hard for people to hear about, it is a big part of what we do, and especially I think as in-home vets, it's, you know, it's a big part of what we do, but it is such a better and, you know, intimate and just on every single level, it's just better, and you know, a better experience to do it at home. And you know, I think I've had beautiful, to use the word again, experiences at people's homes with, you know, all of their other pets there or friends and family. And, you know, it's just, you can't have that experience at a clinic.
You really can't. And I think the fact that you guys are doing that is actually really, it's a, like I said before, I mean, I think that euthanasia can be a gift, but I think what you guys are doing is actually a huge gift, especially for the animal. I mean, especially for the animal. Yeah. Like when Moo Kitty, basically the crazy cat who wouldn't get the carrier, she wound up having pulmonary and respiratory issues. So she's open mouth breathing in my apartment. And, you know, I get a phone call from my ex who's like, cat's open mouth breathing. I said, get this cat at the clinic now. You know, and she comes and we lose her at the clinic that second. She just dropped. And it was just like the most hideous experience. And basically what happened was she was so strung out from the carrier that it just tipped her, you know, and she was going to die anyway. I mean, I'm not going to predict, it didn't kill her, but, you know, it didn't help.
Right.
And I always, there are times where I've wondered in the past, like, if I just had a house call, I wonder what would have happened, you know, but I'm not saying that, like, taking your pet to the vet will kill them. So please, please don't think this, okay?
No.
So not what I'm saying right now.
No, but I think what, I mean, what you're touching on is that it is stressful for the animal and
for the people too.
For the people. But, you know, if you just take the animal separately, you know, there's a lot of medical conditions that stress just adds to, just like with people. And so, you know, there's a lot of times when it does make much more sense for someone to come to you. I mean, and even in just a regular visit with an annual checkup and vaccines, I think, you know, a lot of animals get stressed out and they might seem happy and they're wagging their tails and smiling, quote unquote, but it's actually because they're nervous.
Yeah, they're freaking out. I'm the same way. Yeah. I'm always like, what are you doing with that needle? Yeah, I'm the same way, so I feel for them.
But it's fun, though, because, you know, going back to kind of lighten the mood a little bit, it's, you know, you go to these annual examinations, and then you've got, like, the golden retriever running around with the toy in his mouth, and he's emptying out his entire toy basket at his feet. You know, because, like, your hair is great. You got food. Killer, you know, it's like, here's my bear, here's my bee, here's my ball, you know, and they just get all myopic on the ball, and then all of a sudden they forget the fact that here I am doing an examination, I'm giving him some injections, we're pulling blood from him, you know, doing all the preventative care that we need to do to him. It's just a big game, is the best thing ever until whatever happens next.
That's a really good point.
And because it's all about them, which you know, they
which
love.
Is always a good time.
It's almost like, wait, what just happened? Did I just get an exam and shots?
Cookie? Wait, food? What? Food? More food? Food!
So we need to take a quick break for station identification. I am talking to Dr. Taylor and Dr. Eva of the Vet Set. We'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind, from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we are back. I am talking to Dr. Taylor and Dr. Eva of the Vet Set, which is basically a mobile vet clinic that travels around New York City. It's actually really, really cool. So I want to continue this conversation. Dr. Eva, what happens if one of your clients needs surgery?
We have established a bunch of relationships with regular vets and specialty practices that we can refer people to.
Cool.
You know, if that needs to happen. So,
yeah, when people call, we're going to ask some basic questions, especially if they, you know, if it's a wellness exam, it's a wellness exam. But if the animal isn't doing well, or if it's doing something that to us might denote that the animal's not doing so great, we're going to go through a series of questions to decide, is this something that we should handle in-house, or is this something that should be referred out for hospital care, or is this an emergency and they need to, like, go now? We can help out with that also and help get the instructions from where they need to do.
So, like, let's say you were my vet and my cat needed surgery. You wouldn't do it. You'd refer to somebody else.
We'd refer it to somebody else. Yes. Long term, I would like to find, there's always going to be hospitals that have some downtime in their surgery suites.
Yeah.
And we'd like to identify those. So veterinarians, if you're listening, and lease that out, you know, because I know when I had my previous practice, Thursdays were always our quieter day. And if someone had come in, and actually some people did, and they wanted to lease out my surgery suite, I'd be more than willing to do that.
Totally.
You know, because I'm not using it. Might as well get some money from it.
Yeah.
And then that would allow us to get back into the OR because both of us like to do surgery.
So. That's cool.
Yeah. So one thing I personally am like, oh, no more surgery, no more dental work. So I'm going to have to change that.
I tell you, the dentals, I mean, it's a shame you can't do those at home because that really would be amazing if you could do those at actually at home. But
yeah. Well, they have to be under. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's the thing. The anesthesia,
plug,
you need the sterile, you need all of that.
Got to put a little plug out there for this. Scraping your dog's teeth is not the same as going to the dentist. It's like putting a Crest whitening strip on your teeth and saying you're going to the dentist.
Right. Yeah.
So a complete dental needs to be under a general anesthetic. I'm going to get off my box now.
No,
but
please. I appreciate this.
It's really important. And when your veterinarian says your pet needs his teeth clean, it's not because they are sitting there like, you know, oh, I want the money from it. It's because your dog really needs his teeth cleaned.
Right.
We're not going to put an animal under a general anesthetic unless we have a really good reason for it because there are, you know, conservative risks associated with it. And those places that go out there and scrape their teeth, I mean, you're actually kind of doing some damage to that.
Interesting.
So,
and so for people that don't know, let's say, you know, your pet's got filthy mouth, like swamp mouth. What problems can come from this?
As we know, same thing with people. If you have bad oral health, you have a higher risk for kidney disease, higher risk for cardiac disease, pneumonia, liver issues. And it's the same thing with pets. And there's that. Not to mention, it hurts. I mean, how many times have you had like a tiny little cut in your mouth and you were annoyed for days because of the tiny little cut? Now, imagine having a toothache or a broken tooth or something like that, we would go screaming to our dentist, get me in now. And these dogs and cats just live with it. And, you know, tiny little cuts, think about that times 100 for years on end, you get grumpy, you get hurts. And, you know, it's just, it affects your overall quality of life.
Totally.
And I think a lot of pets' dental issues happen towards the back of their mouth, which is really hard to see. I mean, even for me, just in an exam, they might not let you look back there, which could be a sign that it hurts. But it's just hard to get back there. But when you have them under anesthesia, you can really get back there and see. And, you know, I can't count the number of animals I've seen that had teeth with, you know, major root exposure, which, you know, if you've ever, if you think about going to the dentist and having them hit a nerve, literally, I mean, it's awful. And, you know, I think it's hard to remember, easy to forget that our pets are very programmed to be pets and to live with us in a way that they mask a lot of their pain. And dental pain is included in that. You know, it's sort of a thing that you just wouldn't notice. And I've had so many people say after we've done substantial dental work to a patient, they come back to me a month later and say, I had no idea that my dog or cat was uncomfortable. Yeah. But now that you've done the work and removed the teeth that needed to be removed, they're acting like they did 5 years ago.
Totally.
You know, so it's hard when you live with them every day, I think, to notice those changes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's just, it all goes back to how important mm-hmm. it is.
It's like that with any chronic pain and issue. Arthritis is another mm-hmm. thing yeah. that we can easily manage from a home environment. And people just sit there like, oh, he's slowing down. You know, he doesn't want to go up and down the stairs, all these things. And then you get them under control. You get them on arthritis medication.
Yeah.
Some of these animals, I acupuncture them. And all of a sudden, they're bouncing around again.
Totally.
And, like, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just getting old. It's called your hips hurt. And,
yeah. Yeah.
And for those of us, you know, I've gone through my fair share of injuries, and people have arthritis, and you know, you go out on the weekends, you do something and it hurts and it slows down, and I hear people, you know, moan and groan about it.
Totally.
Imagine that day in and day out. But you're supposed to be happy because you're a dog and you have a ball and you want to do all these things, but you can't. And it's not just that you're slowing down, it's you have a painful condition that can be managed.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard too, because like you said before, you know, they can't talk to us,
right? Mm-hmm.
So you really have to be aware of what's going on in order to even see that. And especially with dental stuff, because it does creep up over a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's like, God, my cat's so cranky. It's like, yeah, your cat hurts.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know? So besides acupuncture, are you doing any other alternative medicine?
I do. So going into the entire scheme of acupuncture, some people are familiar with this, Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine. It's mm-hmm. not just acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, like, I'm versed in herbs. There's people who are much better than I am. And mm-hmm. for people who really want to get into it, we've got people we can refer them to.
Cool.
I do a lot of nutritional counseling.
Good for you.
Both also. Yeah.
Yay! That never yeah. happens. That's
yeah.
awesome.
But using food not only as a modality of, like, you know, how do we get our pets' weight under control, because
nice.
Our pets, there's an obesity epidemic yeah. in our pets too,
yeah.
but also how do we use nutrition as a modality for healing purposes also.
Awesome.
So, because you can
what I do.
I know, it's fun.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It is fun. It's like, look, it works. Oh my yeah. God, it's so cool.
Yeah. yeah. It's like, you're going to eat, so you might as well eat the right stuff that's geared towards your constitution. And it's just teaching people about it, and people get yeah. really into it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And the animals are like, thank God, not kibble. You
yeah.
know, they're like, I'll eat whatever you want. Turmeric, no problem. I'm fine with it. And so what kind of hours do you guys have?
We're 7 days a week.
Are you really?
9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah. So, because wow. we know that we've got crazy lives.
Yeah.
And I know that if I had a pet and I wasn't a veterinarian, getting my pet to the vet would be an
totally.
Issue. And so we just want to make it capable for people who want to get the care that they want for their pets, that they can access it.
Are you guys on call?
We're not at 9, we're kind of done. And
yeah.
here's the thing. I don't know, Eva, you can tell me about your thing. I do, you know, have relationships with my clients where if something were to come up, they've got my cell phone number.
Totally.
I mean, those are the ones that, you know, I'm close to. And, they never abuse it, because it's a trust issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that they're not going to call me unless there's something really serious about it.
That's cool.
So, but we're also, you know, we're going to be building out a scheduler for it. We've got an app. We're making it very
oh,
easy
cool.
for people to
yeah.
access their
Smart.
Records. So if, let's say it's, I guess there's never the Sunday anymore, because we're open, but they need to get access to their vaccine records or their medical records for whatever reason, they
mm-hmm.
can log in and get access to that.
That's great.
Yeah, online pharmacy.
Nice.
Yeah, we're making it just really easy for people to get the information that they need for their pets when they need it.
That's awesome.
Thank
That's
you.
That's so important, too, because if not, it's, you know, since you don't have the brick and mortar, you don't have the receptionist being like, oh, that's an antibiotic. Yeah, if you just read the label, it'll tell you what to do. Click. Oh, that's just a steroid. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like repeating and repeating and repeating the same things over and over. So
mm-hmm.
it's like, website, look. Okay,
yeah.
you got it right there. Perfect. And
yeah.
you can
yeah.
go and deal with another client.
But it's also, we're writing emails after every visit, too, just to summarize.
Wow.
Because people get so much information. I know I do a
yeah.
huge information dump on people, and they're like freaking out, and you can see the panic in their eyes. They're
yep.
be texting stuff down. I'm like, it's cool. Pay attention to me. You will get all this later.
That alone is worth you. Using you guys. Seriously, that's amazing, because yeah, so many clients leave bamboozled, especially if something's really serious, if an animal's really sick.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
well,
you're
emotional if
yeah.
your pet's sick, and you're just, you know, you probably hear what there's a statistic out there. I think it's like 15-20% of what the
oh,
doctor
wow.
says, right? Whether it's
yeah.
about your own health or your animal's health. And it's all very important. And so, yeah, I think it's just very valuable to have that follow-up and to have it
yeah.
written down, so that, you know, when you're you know, out of that state of mind, you can go back and look at it again. And
that's
go, oh, yeah,
huge. No. Yeah. I mean, I really, really think that that's like above and beyond. I mean, right. That's what it's like. Wow, I really like you guys now. I liked you before, but now that I've heard that, it's like you guys are my heroes because that's hard work. That's really hard work after doing these appointments and stuff, is writing down and reiterating everything you told them too, you know? Yeah.
It is, but it isn't though, because a lot of it is, you know, similar stuff that you, absolutely everyone's going to be personalized, yeah. But you know, a lot of these same conditions we see over and over time and time again. And so it's easy for me to grab a bunch of information that I've written previously and put it in there, mm-hmm. because, and then tweak it as I need be, mm-hmm. to personalize it for that particular mm-hmm. pet. You just have to get organized.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. That's the secret right
but
there.
But also just being available over email, for example, mm-hmm. you know, it's super easy if you're up at 4 a.m. and you're panicking about whatever it was that we talked about to just shoot me or Taylor an email, and we might not get it at 4 a.m, but you know, the next morning when we wake up,
7 a.m.
you know, and it's just such an easy form of communication. Obviously we all do it, but we, you know, are just now starting to do it with our doctors and our veterinarians, and so the medical field in general, I think, is a little slow to catch up to that, but you know, that's kind of what we're really pushing for.
Well, you guys are breaking strides by doing that. I mean, seriously, that's, you know, that's, I wish my own doctors did this. Seriously, yeah, it'd be nice, you know.
Yeah. Well, the more that we can keep people off Google, the better off yeah, because there's so much damaging information that's out there too, and people will, you know, all right,
tell us a story. Come on, Taylor, come on.
This gentleman, he was healthy, a CrossFitter, which is its own little cult in of itself, very special. And he had a beautiful dog, and he loved this dog. He wanted to do everything that's right for this dog, but he spent a little too much time on Google. And we were talking about heartworm preventative. Heartworm is a disease that is endemic in this area. It's transmitted by mosquitoes. It's so easy to prevent, where you just give him a tablet once a month. Mm-hmm. It's totally safe and mm-hmm. much better than having heartworm disease, which fills up the right side of your heart with these spaghetti-like worms. I would rather take a cookie once a month versus having worms in my heart. I don't know. You make the decision. So anyways, the one that I was recommending was an oral one. And he's like, well, it kills dogs. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, it kills dogs. I'm like, did you get that on Facebook or something?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. Oh, and, you know, so of course, because the next time when somebody says something like that, obviously they've been doing some Googling and they found some misinformation. And the story goes as this, is that there was a dog who was terminally ill with kidney disease, and they gave him this particular preventative that he'd been on for years. Mm. And then the dog died because he had kidney disease. Not that medication killed the dog. It was, he was going to, but you know, people make really bizarre correlations on things that have nothing to do with fact whatsoever. It's common human, you know, error.
Totally.
But this guy had latched onto it. And because of that, he was just completely opposed to giving this thing to his dog that could later on save his life, to his, you know, 2-year-old golden retriever.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you have to sit down and educate them about this. And all you can do is, you know, give them the best information possible. And I'll be all, I believe that these choices are choices that are made to the owners. And if I'm adamant about it, I'm adamant about it. But it's their decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can't make somebody do something.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And there are times when we're at the clinic, it's like, come on, just do it. Just do it. You know, it's like, I know you got a budget, man, but this $20 will save your pet's life.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
and then they do it, and then they realize their dog's not going to die, or it didn't die, and, you know, all of a sudden, oh, look, the fleas are gone, too. Isn't that cool? And then it kind of, it reinforces what you're saying, but it's tough at times, just because of what's out there in social media, what's out there on Google, and people building, you know, bogus pages about information that's, you know, disinformation.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Eva, do you have a favorite client or a favorite story?
Oh, gosh.
That was not my favorite, by the way.
I mean, I do not have a favorite client. I have many, many favorite clients.
She's going to be a good mom.
So that's a hard one. But I guess I have one of my favorite clients is a woman who adopts older animals.
Oh.
And I guess that it kind of hits on, I know Taylor and I are big senior dog and cat fans.
Cool.
And one of my old techs and I used to joke around about how one day when we retire, we want to just have like a big plot of land and invite all the seniors to just come live with us. But, you know, it just always breaks my heart to see any dog in a shelter, but, you know, let alone a 10-year-old Labrador or whatever, yeah, whose, you know, parents had to move and just couldn't bring them with them to their new place. Oh. And I don't know. Again, I could go off on this subject for a long time, but I always really loved my clients who, you know, purposely would go out and adopt older mm-hmm. dogs, and one in particular would always adopt older pugs, which I don't know if you've ever had a pug, but I absolutely love them. I don't have one myself yet. I probably will one day, but they don't age very well. They're adorable when they're young and smushy-faced and funny and cuddly, but as they get older, you know, they get hip issues and skin issues, and most of them develop these awful chronic coughs, and they have eye issues, and they, you know, they just don't age well. But she would literally go and pluck these 10-year-old pugs out of shelters. Wow. And at one point, she had, I think, three at once, and she would just do everything for them. And, you know, she was aww, just this wonderful woman. And, you know, along the lines of what we were talking about earlier with your relationship with your vet, you know, she and I became good friends. Nice. And I always loved seeing all of her dogs, and, you know, we were bonded. And so, yeah, I think that was definitely one of my clients that has always stood out to
me. It's a great lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really great
person. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
Yeah.
I call it warm and fuzzy now.
Yeah, warm and fuzzy.
Yay! So, Taylor, anything you want to leave our listeners with? Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but if you got something good, I wanted to share the time with you.
No, I will say this. I'm going to share our website, because I don't think we've done that yet.
No, all of it. Give me your Facebook.
All right, yeah.
Instagram,
yeah, we're going to have to do like the little plugs now. Our Facebook page is The Vet Set NYC. Our website is www.vetset.net. Notice it all rhymes.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Smart. Studies say people remember that. So vetset.net. And then we have our Instagram page, Eva.
Oh, gosh. Oh. I don't even know what it is.
It's the vet set.
Even though I think I'm in charge of it as of tonight.
Yes. It's the vet
It'll
set.
It'll be good, though. You should go on it.
It's the vet set NYC. And we've got an app that's coming out in about, they say 6 weeks. So that means 9 weeks.
Totally.
Yeah, that's what we're learning, too, is 10 weeks. How many weeks? Yes. Lots of weeks?
No, events.
Oh, events.
Yeah.
Events.
Oh, yeah. So we've got coming up, we'll be around at the Thompson Square Halloween party.
Me too.
Yay.
All right.
Dogs and costumes
it's
are
fun.
Always fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
What else do we have coming up? Oh, gosh, I'd have to get out my calendar. We've got so many things that are out and about.
We definitely are going to be planning a bunch of yappy hours as well that we'll post about on our Facebook page and Instagram and all of that.
It's called Bringing Your Pet to the Bar and Drinking.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Perfect.
Taylor and I love wine.
Yes.
And so what, you know, we think it's fun to have your dogs and drink wine and socialize and hang out. So.
And not worry about having to get home to let your dog out to pee.
Exactly. So,
we'll be at Rock and Rawhide, who's a really cool group. What they do is they bring in toys and things like that to shelter pets to help chill them out.
Cool.
And we'll be helping sponsor the photo booth at their Red, White, and Black Gala on November 4th, I believe it is, at iHeartRadio.
That's going to be fun.
So, yeah, we'll be there. We've got, at Furry Tales up in the Upper East Side.
Yep.
We're going to do a meet and greet about the holidays and how to get your pets safely through the holidays.
Because
actually, there's always Thanksgiving and Christmas casualties. I hate to say it.
Yeah, it's the worst. And Halloween. Don't forget Halloween.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Halloween.
Halloween. Chocolate. I have a chocolate addict dog at home, which is unfortunate. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and all this stuff, too, it'll be on our Facebook page.
Cool.
And that's the best sort. And we put a lot of cat videos. And it's just it's a fun place to follow things. That's what we're up there. And also educational stuff. We put out on blog posts once a week of things that we think that people want to hear about that are important.
Cool.
So.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming. I've had a blast.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
You guys, check them out. Vet Set. And just really good people. And they're really good vets. They know what they're talking about. So let's do this. I wanted to give a couple notes here. I wanted to thanks to my show's producer, Liz. Liz is awesome. Liz always does good things. She always makes us all sound wonderful in here. Liz, thank you so much. Today's break music was provided by Mamarazzi. The theme song to my show is Never Coming Home by the Raunch Hands, and the sponsor today is Heritage Foods USA. Also, thank you, listener, for tuning in. If you like what you heard, tell your friends to subscribe to the show on iTunes and feel free to get in touch with us at heritageradionetwork.org. Next up, a short clip of Let's Get Real with Erica Wides.
Why would anybody askew or throw away or reject the bones of anything? Bones are culinary gold. Bones are the shit.
Erica Wides wants you to use your bones and stop throwing them out. Here's an excerpt from episode 116 of Let's Get Real.
And you know how we all like to talk about nose-to-tail cooking now? It's all about nose-to-tail cooking, using the whole animal. Well, how about cooking the entire animal and then taking its bones and boiling them for soup and then cracking those bones open and sucking out every last bit of marrow and fat in them and then throwing the bones to the dogs so they could chew on them and build up their teeth and jaws so that then they can help you hunt down that next wild antelope to put in your pot. That's nose to tail. I mean, hell, that's paleo for reals. Like, that's what paleo is really all about. Bones are literally the foundation. Bones are the bones of Western cooking. The foundation. I mean, the French word for stock is fond. Fond means foundation.
If you agree with Erica and want to hear more from her, all episodes of Let's Get Real are available on heritageradionetwork.org and on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.